Miss Mormon Housewives. It is Father's Day and a beautiful Sunday, and I'm here speaking with Tanisha, and we're going to do a brief interview on why she posted her profile on Ordained Women. So, Tanisha, would you like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am 20. I'm going to BYU right now studying sociology and French, and I want to work with sexual assault survivors for the rest of my life. So that's kind of the career path I'm headed in.
Okay.
And I have been Mormon all my life. So I was Relief Society president when I first came to BYU in my singles ward. So I've always been really active and a faithful member of the church. But when I was younger, I remember asking my parents, like, why can't women be ordained? And at that time, they were both a little hesitant to answer the question. But I remember my mom saying, you know, I actually don't know, eventually. And that kind of throughout my time of being very active in the church, I wondered why women couldn't be ordained. And especially when I was Relief Society president, I think that that was where my eyes were opened to the role of women in the church and the way that I had absolutely no power to do anything. And part of that was being a single adult, but a lot of it was I couldn't go to certain meetings. I wasn't allowed to choose what I wanted to do with my own budget while the elders' quorum president had – they did whatever they wanted, and I would go to meetings and they would say, these are what you're going to spend this on. This is how much you get. You can come and pick up the checks from us. I wasn't allowed to, the elders quorum presidents wrote their own checks and I didn't. So
it was really, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know if that was exactly what they were supposed to be doing. There's a lot of things that
was this. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There were a lot of things that maybe weren't exactly how it was supposed to be done, but I think the general thing that I got from when I moved and I was released from the calling was just that I didn't have any like power to do anything. And I thought, what is the point of me being in this calling that is supposedly, you know, one of the higher callings that you, I mean, that's the higher calling that you can have in a ward as a woman. And I didn't have power to do anything. It was, I felt like I was just kind of a prop a lot of the time.
Good grief. I'm sorry. And when, how recently was that?
That was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Okay. That was my freshman year.
At BYU? At BYU.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we'll get into that. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Are you going to become a social worker or are you going to get your master's in social work?
I actually want to get my master's in public policy and do work surrounding policy with survivors of sexual assault. So
that's very common for people who they'll get into an advocacy role for mental health. And many of the things I've read that just talking with people isn't enough. They have to become more active in policy that surrounds social issues that cause a lot of these traumas that people go through. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you. Awesome. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Washington.
The state or?
Yeah, Washington State, 20 minutes away from Portland, Oregon. So green, rainy. I miss it. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I lived in Eugene for just a little bit when I was 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is. It's nice and green. It's gorgeous. And does your family still live there?
They do. They're still living there. I'm just living out in Provo for a little, but I hope to move back to Portland just for a year.
Okay.
My undergrad.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing what kind of policies you bring to pass, Tanisha. I'll vote for you if you start running for public office.
Okay. Wonderful. One vote so far.
Okay. There you go. So you started to go into this about why you posted a profile on Ordained Women.
Yeah.
If you want to explain a little bit more about that, if you want to, and also when you posted it.
Yes. Yeah, so it took me a really long time to kind of get up the courage to post a profile. It was I was really nervous because I felt like people viewed me my sophomore year as this like cool, like liberal Mormon and feminist Mormon. But when topics like ordained women came up, people got really angry. And I hadn't at that point said anything about my support. But I was nervous because I realized how controversial the issue would be. And for me, in my head, it had always been, like, I hadn't said anything out loud, but it had always been something that just made sense to me. It's like, why wouldn't we want to support ordaining women? But when I quickly realized that that was not something that everyone else was feeling. But I posted my profile finally right around the time of the first action event, because now I'm like trying to remember exactly I posted my profile. But I do remember that I posted it, and I posted it on Facebook, and I got a lot of angry messages, but I realized how controversial of an issue it was all of a sudden, and how many of my friends were angry about it. But I think that the more people got angry about it, the more it made sense to me.
Really?
So it was October of 2013 is when I posted it. And
why did it make more sense to you as people got more angry?
You know, I realized that because people were, because a lot of the reason that people were angry is like, it was mostly women, and they were saying, this is our role. This is what we're supposed to do. And I'm a sociology major, and one of the things that we talk about a lot is authority, and how when we listen, like, humans have a tendency to obey authority without necessarily thinking about it. And I was having this in class, we were talking about this, and I go to BYU, and a bunch of students were like, oh no, if someone told us to do something, like, and it wasn't something that we agreed with, we wouldn't just do it. And as people were starting to get angry and say, no, but this is just what we're supposed to do, this is how it is, you know, the prophet said so, God said so, I thought, wait, but I don't know if I can be okay with just blindly obeying. And if the best reason someone can give me is, this is just what we're supposed to do, that doesn't make sense to me. And so I think that that's kind of where I realized that people were just getting angry and saying, this is what we're supposed to do, though. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I don't think it made sense to Joseph Smith. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to the Grove of Trees and prayed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This church is about asking questions. Yep. And I think that that's something that's become more clear to me as I read through church history, is that it's all about asking questions. We don't get anywhere without asking questions. And if we choose to just say, but this is the way it's always been done, I mean, if you look at history, that doesn't make sense. If we continue to say, but this is the way it's always been done, there would still be slavery. So that
there wouldn't be a lot of cures to diseases. They're just, you know, we'd be doing bloodletting.
Yeah.
In hospitals. There has to be continued search and questions. Otherwise, we don't progress as a species. It just doesn't happen, period.
Yeah.
So you told us a little bit about how your friends responded. How did your family respond?
You know, I wasn't really surprised necessarily, but it was really great. My family, when I said, hey, I'm going to this, I was a little nervous to tell my parents, okay, I'm going to this action event. We're going to, you know, stand in line at the priesthood session. And my parents were like, cool, that's great.
Are you serious?
And
wow.
Yeah, they've been really great about it. My mom sends me emails with links and stuff to, like when the Kate Kelly and John Dillon, situation, she sent me a link and she was like, oh, you know, it's been really great. And my sister and brother, especially my younger sister and brother, they have been super supportive, and they're definitely on board with the ordained women movement. And I think that that's so great. Mm-hmm. My brother just got the priesthood, a few months ago, and, he was like, why can't women have the priesthood? Like, I don't understand why I get the priesthood. He's the youngest, but my sister and I don't. And he's like, you guys have been in the church longer, you know? So
that's sweet. You know, let me just back up for the audience. What Tanisha is referring to as far as the John and Kate situation, just this past week, this is the first Sunday after it was publicly announced that John DeLynn and Kate Kelly and Alan Waterman were going to be receiving church courts on apostasy issues. And so that is what Tanisha is referring to. And I'm really glad that your parents were so supportive. It's wonderful.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely, I think that my sister and brother for me were kind of, when I went to stand in line, they were kind of the, I was thinking about them the whole time and I couldn't help but think about, they really wanted to be there. I was like, oh, I wish that you could come out here and fly out and stand in line. And so I think that for me, that's something that, that really motivated me to move forward with the movement, is that I see these younger people, these youth in the church, and something that they want. That's something that that's important to them. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, a lot of the people that have been angry at me have been older people. And I just think this is, we talk so much about the rising generation and the way that they're going to impact the church. And if this is something that's important to them, then mm-hmm. we need to honor that and move forward with that.
Well, Tanisha, I'm going to ask you a question. Being a sociology minor, it's not on the table. So if you don't feel like answering, or if we decide to take it out, that's fine. But okay. I'm thinking about this. What year were you born?
1993.
Okay. And what year, how early were your parents in the church? Were they born in the church?
So my mom was born in the church. I'm biracial. So okay. My mom is white, and my ancestors on her side are Scandinavian, and they came as Mormon pioneers. My dad joined the church when he was around 1920. He's from Mozambique. And he joined the church in Swaziland. He was the first person to serve a mission out of Swaziland. Okay. And then he came here, and my parents met at Rick's, and then moved to Provo, went to BYU, and got married.
Okay, because I knew that I knew that you were African American, and so my question, and that makes a lot of sense. My question about this and their support, I wondered if they might feel. I was alive. I was young when they changed the policy to where black men could hold the priesthood in the church. I think I was 8 or 9, and so I remember the times before that, and I remember the times after that. And also I remembered for a long time, that it was still discouraged for there to be any kind of biracial marriage. So with those things changing and your parents seeing those change and being a part of that, do you think that has helped them to be a little bit more open to just being open-minded and asking more questions than what was just passed down from generation to generation as a Mormon pioneer heritage, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Growing up and being biracial has, and being in the LDS church, that has definitely affected the way that I think about the church, but especially my parents. Mm-hmm. Actually, when my parents tried to get married here in Provo, I believe it was the state president, was like, no, I'm not granting this. So they actually had to get married in another temple, not the Provo temple, because the state president wouldn't grant them to get married, or the bishop. Anyway, a higher up leader said, no, I will not let you get married. This is not right. And we're talking like, this is, you know,
what year?
1990 or 1991, you know, like this is early.
Holy cow.
90s. So,
holy cow.
So things like that have been, that's, I mean, the way that we grew up, and even in some of our wards, there have been a lot of racist comments. And even though my dad wasn't a member of the church when black men couldn't hold the priesthood, we still talked about it very openly in my house. And he always talks about how, you know, obviously he was got to hold the priesthood. He went on a mission when he joined the church. But mm-hmm. actually when they – in Swaziland, he didn't even know about it. It was not until he came to the States and he was serving his mission in Philadelphia, you know, sometime in his mission, that a member said something about it and – or someone that they were teaching. And he was like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. What priesthood ban? Mm-hmm. They just never said anything. And he was really upset about that because mm-hmm. he was like, why would you not mention – mm-hmm. that, you know, my race wasn't allowed to hold the priesthood, but it was just something that they kind of left out of church history. Right. And so he always was like, we need to talk about this. This is an important part of church history. This happened. And they said this would never happen. And it did. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of a big part of growing up, was making sure that we were open about church history and realizing that the church changes, mm-hmm. as well as understanding that, I mean, Spencer W. Kimball said, we believe, as the brethren believe, that, you know, Indians should marry Indians, so on and so mm-hmm. forth.
Right.
And so, yeah, being biracial has definitely changed my perspective, as well as my parents having an interracial marriage has changed their perspective, because the church does change.
Yes, it does.
And we've seen mm-hmm. that. I've seen that. And looking at history, we can see that. And so when people say, oh no, women are never going to ordain, this is how it's supposed to be. Well, black men, that's exactly what we said about blacks. And that's what we, you know, talked about it with interracial marriages. So.
Correct. Right. Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that. I thought that if I was in your position, that would have had an impact on my flexibility in seeing things. And so yeah. I was curious about that. So tell us, what kind of vision do you have for ordained women in the church? What do you see? What's kind of the vision you have?
You know, I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful. I think, and this is, once again, you know, if we look at the church and the way that the church has changed and things have changed in the church, I think that things will change. Mm-hmm. And I hope that as we move forward, and I've seen this recently, especially with Kate Kelly and her being announced to have the court date, I've seen a lot of people who don't necessarily support ordained women kind of come forward and say, wait, there's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. And I think that recently that's definitely been something that I've noticed more. And so I do have a lot of hope for ordained women moving forward, in that a lot of people, I think, are saying, wait, there's something a little bit wrong here. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, one of my friends who is a non-member was, usually she was like, oh, I don't understand why this is such a big deal to you. But not too long ago, she was like, wait, but why can't women get ordained? Like, what's the harm in that? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's the questions that are being raised right now by a lot of people who don't necessarily support the movement or aren't feminists. But I think that eventually, because I do believe that God doesn't want this to happen, mm-hmm. this isn't something that God would have been okay with, having people be separate but equal. Mm-hmm. I do think that eventually women will be able to hold the priesthood. I don't know when, but I do have a lot of hope and a lot of faith that that will happen.
Tanisha, I hope that your faith is justified. And I'm so grateful to hear from the younger generation, to hear your thoughts. And it's wonderful to hear not only the vision you have for women in the church, but the support that you're receiving. And I hope that we can see that vision manifested together. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate your story.
Thank you. What you see.